The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, and can be found in the Pew Bibles, page 1038, or on the screen behind. The healing of a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, Jason. The man possessed by many demons. I wondered if we could start by asking a few questions. Firstly, what's your feeling when people start to talk about evangelism? What does that conjure up within you? Are you positive about it? And maybe more simple than that, what actually is evangelism? Well, here's a simplistic definition, but here's one definition. Evangelism is taking God's kingdom and the gospel to other people. I wonder if you've heard that saying that's on your screen there. If it only helps one person, it will have been worth it. I think it's said in churches, it's also said in the world too. But here we find Jesus goes a journey to go and help what many of us would call a crazy man. He's wild. He's naked. We would naturally maybe go the other way, but Jesus journeys across a lake to go and to speak to him. And in fact, after Jesus' visit, this man has been evangelized and is a new convert, for Jesus has met him and dealt with his issues and set him aright. So let's look at these verses together. Firstly, verses 27 to 29, and we'll consider this demon-possessed man. Now, if you were with us over the last few weeks, Jesus, as he journeyed across this lake, was in a terrible storm. He was having a sleep. He had just calmed the storm and had power over nature. So as they get to the other side, this is on their minds. And just before that was the parable of the sower, which was telling us about how receptive people are to the gospel, to God's word. So here, they've travelled this 7 miles across the lake. And actually, that part of the world is very, very barren. It's like wilderness. And it was an area that was inhabited by Gentile people. You know, the kind of people who would not naturally want to be hearing about your God, for he's not their God. Yet Jesus takes this journey. And actually later on in history, there was a monastery built there in the 5th century because they wanted to commemorate this place where Jesus had taken the gospel to the Gentile people. So our passage tells us that Jesus is greeted at the other side by this naked man shouting at the top of his voice. And verse 29 tells us that this is quite an unusual man. In fact, his strength seems to be supernatural. He can even break through metal chains when he's angry. Now, I don't know if it's just me, or maybe you're thinking in the man who turns green and his shirt all bursts, the Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry. Now, we know the Hulk is a made-up thing, and he supposedly was fell in front of radiation, and that scientific change within his body created this strange strength that surfaces when he's angry. But the reason this man is angry is he is possessed by many demons. Now, that man's in serious trouble. He's a slave to the demons who seem to have power and rule over him. And this man is not free in any sense. And we're told whenever he's captured and chained up, the people in the community still don't feel safe. They still live in fear, for at any moment he will escape from the captivity as he breaks these chains and as he rampages through the place and terrorizes them. This man cannot be captive to people, but he is a captive to these demons. Now, the words that are used here don't imply that this is just a recent problem in his life, but it's been ongoing for many, many years. And it may seem strange that the concern of the demons and the man is that they don't want Jesus to torture them. Can you imagine that? There's only one word that's adequate there for that phrase, and that is irony, isn't it? They don't want Jesus to torture them. Isn't this man being tortured by all these demons? So Jesus, we're told, commands the evil spirits to come out of the man. Why? Not to torture him, but to liberate him. And the man seeks mercy, but the demons have other agendas. They, of course, recognize Jesus because as spirits of the eternal world, they are spiritually aware. They know Jesus is holy and powerful. He is the Son of Almighty God, and his commands are to be obeyed. So the demons, as they, in a sense, are begging for mercy, they are trying to manipulate the situation. That takes us to verses 30 to 33, and we hear this horrible name, Legion, and we think of the pigs that are mentioned here too. So Jesus asks the man or the demons, "What is your name?" And they reply, "Legion," meaning many demons, would cause, I guess, many there to shudder, and would certainly cause many of us to shudder at the thought of that. Now, a legion was a Roman unit in the military, and it usually consisted of something like 5,000 to 6,000 soldiers. You're beginning to shudder that this man is possessed by a legion. Now, we're told that they asked to go into a herd of pigs. How many pigs do you think are in the herd? Maybe you think 20 or 40. Maybe you think 60. But if you turn to Mark 5 and 13, you will read that the herd was about 2,000 strong. So that ties in with a Roman military unit called a legion. Thousands, thousands of demons. Now, however many it was, the point is, this man is in a dreadful, dreadful position spiritually. And once again, the demons beg Jesus repeatedly, "Don't send us into the abyss." And that word is the Greek world of the dead, or elsewhere in the New Testament, we would describe it as the place we know as hell, a place where they would be shut in with Satan until the day of judgment. So the pigs are asking Jesus to, into the pigs they are asking Jesus to permit them to go. Now, can you imagine as these pigs become demon possessed and they rush down the hill and into the lake and are drowned? Think of those who owned these pigs. That was their livelihood. What a great loss and what a shock that would be to them. I think we always have to remember Jesus never killed these pigs. It was the demons. But I don't think that's how it was interpreted locally. And that might mean that you've got some questions this morning, and it's okay to have questions. Why on earth would Jesus allow such a thing? I think as your minister, I'm quite happy to announce that I don't really know. I don't really know why Jesus would allow such a thing. But a much more useful question is, are there things that we can learn from this situation? What indeed is the role of the pigs in this story? Well, I've come up with four possible things that we could maybe learn something from to do with the pigs in this story. And the first is that to the Jews, the pigs were considered to be unclean. And so there would be some sense that these unclean spirits were only fit to be in pigs and not in people. In that sense, that they viewed the pigs as something very unclean. Secondly, the demons failed to avoid being disembodied. You know, they've said they don't want to end up in the abyss. They want to stay in the man, or they in turn are willing to go into the pigs. But what happens to them? They end up in the deep anyway, don't they? Drowned in the deep, in the water. The drowning of the pigs shows the power and damage that demonic influence can have. And in the light of these 2,000 or so pigs end up being destroyed, we should never, never underestimate the destruction of evil that Satan wants to impart in the lives of us all. And lastly, the drowning of the pigs, I think, helps us to realise that maybe scientists like to say they know it all and they understand it all. They would love to say that this was just something to do with a man's mental state. But I think we can see from this story that Jesus doesn't just think it's to do with a man's mental state. And the effect on all those there that day as these pigs very unnaturally run into the water to drown shows that Jesus is saying that the demonic influence is real and not something we can pass off by some sort of new terms that scientists or psychotherapists or whatever claim. That takes us nicely into verses 34 to 37. And I think this is quite a surprising thing, even to hear it again and again. Jesus is requested to leave their locality. I don't know if you've heard of that phrase, an imbi, not in my backyard. But that jumped out at me in this reading of this passage. They don't want him here anymore. Go away. I don't think the saddest element in this story is the economic loss or the fate of the pigs. I think deeply troubling is the reaction to the now cured demoniac who is sitting at Jesus' feet. And he's clothed and he's in his right mind, and he's in a much, much better place spiritually. This man's been a bizarre fixture in the community for many years. His many acts of self-destruction and great strength would be legendary or notorious. But now he's here clothed, and he's in a good place. And the fear of him should have gone forever. I wonder if for a few moments we can put ourselves in their shoes. Jesus has been doing all these kind of miracles. It should come as no surprise that he's going to do something in their locality. But there are always opposition. There's always doubters. There's always folk who are more afraid of God or the supernatural than they are in being prepared to accept the wonders of God. And this is a Gentile territory. And sometimes there are people who are determined not to permit God to have any space or place in their lives. Every time you might want to have a conversation about your faith with them, the walls go up. They walk away. They tell you not to Bible bash them. And these people clearly want Jesus gone. It's not just Gentiles or atheists that feel like that. Remember, the Pharisees behaved quite similarly. And they were supposed to be people who followed God. So I think we always have to be careful not to judge and place ourselves in a place where we think we will be okay. Do we want Jesus around and doing amazing but strange things? I want to make it clear that I believe that it's always, always best to have Jesus around. It's not necessarily always easiest or not testing, but it's always best. Our last couple of verses then, 38 and 39. Despite the fact that the people want Jesus to go, this man wants to stay with Jesus. Wherever he goes, he wants to be a follower of this man who has transformed his life after so many years of chaos and pain and suffering. And if I was that man, I would want to follow Jesus too. Here are some reasons why this man wants to follow Jesus. Firstly, he's discovered someone who deeply cares about him. Someone who cares about him despite the terrible state he's in. Most people he's met in his life would have been afraid of him and would have gone as far to the other side of the street as they could possibly go to avoid him. Jesus is different. Jesus not only speaks to him and talks to him, but he restores his lost soul. He's worth following, this Jesus. And secondly, this rescuer that Jesus is the one who has set him free. He, in effect, is in the debt of Jesus for the rest of his life. Jesus has saved his life. He owes Jesus everything. Thirdly, he would want to learn all that he can from such an amazing man. He would want to see him do more spiritual intervention work, more evangelism, more miracles and wonders. And you know, seeing Jesus at work is truly attractive, and it is a real privilege and blessing to be in the midst where God is at work. Fourthly, I suspect it would have been difficult for anyone in that hometown to really accept this man fully after all these years that he's terrorized them. You know the kind of reputation people can get, and sometimes people are a bit small-minded. and they continue to bear past grudges and never to let things go. But Jesus listens to this man's plea, "Let me come with you, Jesus." Does Jesus say, "Okay then, on you come"? He doesn't. He says, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." That's the result of evangelism. That's the result of Jesus touching someone's life. It's an opportunity to witness to the awesome power of God. And sometimes it's very tempting to head off somewhere else and start a new life where nobody knows our shames of the past. But the important thing here is this man has experienced the saving power of God. He's been transformed from a destructive, demon-possessed man into someone who's truly free, someone who's experienced meeting Jesus in a personal way, someone who's now been called by Jesus to have a purpose to go and witness and testify of the Christ. Let's put ourselves in the boat as it pulls away from the Gerizim territory. And let's ponder, what did Jesus bring us to this place today for? What can we learn from this? Here are five things that might resonate with your spirit. Firstly, having seen Jesus cast out demons many times before and healing people on various occasions, this seems to be something on an altogether different scale. This man is overpowered by many demons. As disciples, we need to go deeper and deeper into the power of our God. This man, Jesus, is no mere mortal. When he commands evil spirits, no matter whether they're in a great legion or army, they must every time obey him. Earlier that day, they had seen Jesus have command over the fierce wind and the waves that swamped a boat. Now here he's delivered someone, a crazy man, the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low, someone who's as spiritually as far away from God as it can possibly be. I suspect they would be a bit unsettled by the awesome power of Jesus. I suspect we all need to experience that to keep ourselves humble, to realize how truly powerful our God is. Secondly, I think they would realize that there is no one person who is beyond hope, for nothing is impossible with God. Jesus has stripped back the boundaries that we might place in our human understanding of things. This man is too bad. He's naked. I'm not going near him. He's wild. We don't get to make the boundaries. Jesus makes the boundaries. And we have to follow his boundary tram lines. Thirdly, watching how Jesus can love such a demon-possessed man and then transform him from clothed instead of being naked to sane and in control instead of being possessed and out of control. What I want to remember and learn from this passage is that this man sat at Jesus' feet. Not only did he accept the grace of God in his life, but he wanted to learn more, and he was called with purpose to witness for God. Fourthly, they would realize that Jesus made a special trip all the way across the Sea of Galilee to help one suffering soul. He didn't wait for an invitation from the local community. He came because he felt the anguish of one who was very troubled. There's a lot of ones in our community and beyond that are troubled, that need Jesus to go and visit them, to meet their needs. And lastly, Jesus gave this man clothes. Literally, he was naked, but Jesus gives him dignity. Many demons turned away. They speak of the grace of our God. And maybe some of the folks we know are not so far removed spiritually. But no matter how far gone they seem to be, Christianity, the gospel, is for all. Let's make sure we don't discount who Jesus might reach with it. Amen.